Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
So we are starting this new series called Kingdom Builder. So everyone say Kingdom Builder. Can we just admire the beautiful handwriting on this? I was crying. Who remembers Libby? Anyone remember Libby? If you didn't know Libby, she was the most amazing worship leader. Her voice was like honey. She was a blues singer. She went to college for it. She's just fantastic person, wrote hundreds of songs. She and her husband had to move away because he was here for Cornell. But she actually, if you see these wood plaques on the wall, she designed those, as well as some other art. She was a professional artist. My handwriting does not look like that, and I just want to confess and apologize because all I could think of was Libby's. Libby would have done like calligraphy on here, so I was just true confessions. But anyway, now that that confession is out of the way, we'll get into the message. So last night, well, let me rewind. Tuesday, I get this great idea. So we're going to do our Kingdom Builders message series. So everyone say Kingdom Builders again. And Kingdom Builders is all about building God's kingdom, right? It's pretty self-explanatory. It's going to be exciting because we're going to get into some of the prophetic today and next week, and then we're going to get into missions, some missions things, and it's going to be cool. We're going to just talk about different practical ways we build God's kingdom in our lives and in this world, how we open the door for him to do that through us. And so I got this great idea. It's like, we're going to make all these doors for all the different topics that we're going to go through in Kingdom Builders. And I'm going to have this big, you know, visual. I was thinking of Judith and her visuals in the art department. And so I sent Brian a Facebook message, and I was like, it had a picture of this pastor that had these doors on his stage. Like, he had used it as an illustration. I thought, that's just cool. Like, why don't we get inspired by them? And so I sent him this picture, and it had all these beautiful manicured white doors, like four white doors, very manicured with like little signs on them. It was obviously, you know, very professionally done. And I was like, hey, can you do this for us? Like, can you just make a couple doors? I'm thinking, just make a couple doors. It's all good, right? So first I had to find the doors, and how many know wood has gone through the roof? And I'm like, I'm not going to spend money on this. This is a waste of money. You want to help people with money, right? But I find these free doors on Craigslist. So Brian and I show up at this house on Friday, and we jam seven doors into our CRV, which means that we had to remove the headrests and pray that we didn't hit something so we were decapitated, right? So we're driving like this, and the guy who gave us the seven doors, he's like, are you sure you want all of these doors? This is a lot of, like, are you, please don't, like, drive slowly, right? So we get the doors here, and then we end up going to a conference for 2 days that was absolutely amazing down in Painted Post, so we don't get to do anything with the doors. And so yesterday, I'm like, Brian, I need the doors. I need my message illustration. So he goes to Lowe's, and as I said, wood's expensive, so he gets kind of like the cheapest wood he can find, which thankfully was very cheap, although it's, don't touch it, right, or it'll fall over. But I had sent him some tutorial videos because I thought, you know, how hard can it be to make a door frame? Who's made a door frame before? Anybody? A couple people. Okay, so there are some professionals here, but we won't name names because we already confessed to them. So I sent him the DIY video, and I'm like, look, it's a three-minute video. Like, just watch the video, make the door. This is great. He's like, yeah, we can do all seven. I'm like, this is great. So we go to Lowe's, and we're looking at wood and prices, and I'm like, even for the cheapest wood, there's no way we're making seven doors unless, like, God provides for wood, which, I mean, hopefully he provide for something else, although he does care about the little things. But so we get just enough for four doors, right? Because that was cheap. And we pile it into our car. We get here, and it's about 5 o'clock last night. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to be here at 10:15 a.m., I don't really want to be here at 5 o'clock on Saturday, unless I'm just like worshiping or something, right? So it's 5 o'clock, and then it's 6 o'clock, and then it's 7 o'clock, and then it's 8 o'clock. We're still working on the one door. Here comes the man of the hour. He told me I could tell this story. I never humiliate anybody without their permission. Okay, and so I send him the DIY three-minute video. He kind of like skimmed through it in Lowe's. He's like, yeah, we got this. Like, and he's like, well, maybe if I do the frame this way or that way. And I'm like, I don't know. And so I send him a couple blog posts, right? He's like skimming them. Well, needless to say, we did not use a blueprint. Okay, we didn't follow the instructions. Who's an instruction follower here? Anybody? Jesus, bring more instruction followers to our church. Okay, we've got enough to be okay. We're going to get by. Well, I'm not an instruction follower, and he's not, apparently. And so we drilled this. I don't know if you can see this on the video, but if you can't, maybe just make sure. We got this done. Well, first he cut the wood, and this piece right here, he cut about an inch too short on either side. So the door was not going to fit, right? It's a door frame. So then once he fixed that, we got down to this part, and well, let's just say that it took about like 6 screws to get in here because he put one in and it went out the other side because it was too long. And so he took it out. And then he took another one in and it split the wood because, as I said, this was the more inexpensive wood. So then we put it all together here after about an hour. Mind you, I was like, it's Saturday. I'm going to go home. I'm going to eat dinner. I'm going to relax for a minute, you know, maybe watch a TV show and then pray and go to bed, you know, for church. No, not at all. So at about 8 o'clock, I'm like freaking out. I'm like, I just want to go home because we're going to be back here in 12 hours or 10 hours. And so we go to hang this. And so first, you'll notice there are 3 beautiful holes on this side and this side because he started by hanging this way. And I mean, we're in this together because we were helping each other. Well, we hang the door, but it's too low. So it hits this bottom piece because it has to fit in. So we're like, that's okay. So we go to the other side and we hang it. It's too high. It won't fit up here. And then it's too low again. And then, praise Jesus, we got the door done. So everyone just say praise God. All right. How many know communication can sometimes feel like that, right? I was like, well, my sermon illustration just became a parable too, right? But all that to say, instructions matter. And so today we're going to talk about communication. Everyone say communication. All right. So kingdom builders. I'm going to rewind, then we're going to get back to why there's a door here. So everybody knows, you know, if you read Mark 4, Matthew 13, I recommend if you haven't been in those 2 chapters recently, just live in those for the next month because there are so many parables about God's kingdom. Obviously, there are other chapters in the Bible about God's kingdom too, but those 2 chapters in particular are great if you're doing a Bible study or just reading the word and getting it into you, meditating it. That's where we're going to live a little bit. But if you read those stories, it's pretty obvious that God's kingdom, it's pretty much shrinking. You know, it's a victim to the environment. God's kingdom is very contingent on political climate. It's really with only popular or very influential people. Thank God Rod is a pastor here. Thank you. Nobody else is catching this? You caught it? Okay, you have permission to speak up in our church. We're not like, you know. So let me say that again, and then someone get angry, because let me tell you, if you're not angry when you hear a lie, you might not be able to speak the truth out. So God's kingdom is shrinking, being victim to the environment, contingent on political climate, with popular people only. All right, I was waiting for someone to tackle me. Next time, someone better tackle me when I don't speak the truth from this pulpit, all right? But everyone's, thank you. So everyone say no, right? Okay, but a lot of times we live our life as if we are defending something that is shrinking. But God's kingdom, it says it's always advancing, all right? So we read, it's as small as a mustard seed, but it grows into a huge tree. You know, a lot of times we focus on the mustard seed, and I did a whole message series a while ago about the mustard seed, and Maria Cotterill had a mustard seed necklace that she gave me. It was really cool. It's this little tiny, tiny seed, and we focus on the seed, but how many know that the mustard seed, if it doesn't grow, it's not a seed, right? And so God's kingdom may start as a seed in your life, but it's going to grow. Hell cannot stop it, right? Hell lost another one. Everett got to lead that part of the song this morning. It's always advancing. So everyone say advancing. It's a treasure worth selling everything for. Everyone say everything. And it is among the least of these all the way up, right? Isn't that incredible? And so in Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Everyone say all authority. I had my double shot of green tea, so everybody's going to be talking a lot this morning, and I apologize already, but that's okay, right? You and I carry God's authority in us. So what is the kingdom? There's like magic kingdom. I actually don't even know what that is, but is that the card game? No, it's Disney. Magic Kingdom, the Magic Kingdom. Okay, there we go. I don't know. That came to mind. There's Magic Kingdom. I don't know what comes to mind. What comes to mind when you hear the word kingdom? Anybody? A castle? Yeah, there you go. Narnia, kind of, right? Yeah, like Everett came in and he's like, oh my gosh, like Narnia is through the door, right? And I was like, well, I wish, right? Although I'm not going to some frozen kingdom. I think that's already happened, right? But kingdom is kind of like an old-fashioned word a little bit. And it's too bad because how many know God's kingdom is not old-fashioned, right? God lives in the here and now. So God's kingdom in the Bible, it means authority. It means sovereignty. It means where God rules, or it's like where a king has dominion, right? And how many know that we serve a good king? Thank God, right? Amen. So I just wanted to get that definition out there because sometimes in the word kingdom, it gets a little bit fuzzy. But in the Bible, we see several people, obviously, who are building God's kingdom, but a couple that came to mind was Joseph in the Egyptian government and Nehemiah. He was in another foreign government. Both of these men were phenomenal kingdom builders, right? And what I love about them was they weren't priests. They weren't pastors. They were actually serving in another government, which means to be a kingdom builder, you can build it anywhere you are, anywhere you have influence, whether that's your home, your workplace, your school. You can build God's kingdom anywhere. Isn't that good news? So it says, C.S. Lewis said this. This is a cool quote. This is going to catch some of us off guard. It's far more important that heaven is real than any of us actually get there. Amen. So think about that for a second. I heard that quote this week, and I was like, that sounds sacrilegious. And then I realized, well, if heaven isn't real, none of us are getting there, right? So if you rewind that, it's actually very theologically correct. It's far more important that heaven is actually real. And so as we're getting into this Kingdom Builders message series, I want to just rewind, because if you don't believe that God's kingdom is real, if you don't believe heaven is real, then this whole series isn't going to make sense to you, all right? So first step as a church is actually believing that when Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we believe as a church that that is actually possible through Christ, through the cross, through the resurrection. All right? Luke 1:33 through 35. And of his kingdom, I'm doing a lot of scriptures here, but it's just because I want to kind of do a Bible study on the word kingdom before we get into the communication. Luke 1:33, this is when the angel appeared to Mary. So everyone say Merry Christmas. No, thank you. All right. And of his kingdom, there will be no end, right? The angel is talking about Jesus, right? The Savior. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. Everyone's saying no end, right? So then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answers and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. So you reproduce or you multiply what you get close to. So if you're close to the kingdom of God, if you're close to God, you're going to be able to multiply in the kingdom, right? But if you're close to other things, if you're close to dysfunction, or you're close to control, or you're close to chaos, then I'm not talking about some new age thing. I'm just talking about the fundamentals of how God created humanity, right? And so even Mary realized that she couldn't have a Messiah because she hadn't been with a man. And so just like that, when we invite Jesus into our hearts, we're actually inviting him to get close to us so that we can multiply the kingdom. Are you guys following me? So it's important. What we get close to, we multiply. So why don't we just say this prayer together? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. During this month, I want to invite you, if you're up to it, to get your phone out and set an alarm for 12 o'clock. And as a church, we're going to be saying the Our Father prayer every day together. I know a church that did this, or they weren't a church, they were just a prayer movement in England. And he and his friends, they did a lot of 24/7 prayer, and they would actually set an alarm on their phone for noon. And then every day, wherever they were, you know, in their workplace, they were normal people, they would stop and they would pray. And it brought so much order to their day. So I actually want to invite us to do that today and through this month, to do a 12 o'clock prayer, to say this prayer, not out of a tradition or out of some kind of obligation, but because this is how God actually taught us to pray. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So who here has given their life to Jesus? Anybody given their life to Jesus? Fantastic. If you haven't, you're in the right place. If you have, you're in the right place. That's what I love about church. If it's never the right place, then you're probably not in the right church, right? Because church is for both of us. But Eugene Peterson, he's a theologian. He said, "Stop trying to give God your whole life and just start with today. I could give God the next 18 hours and then come back and get washed clean and then restart with him." I love that. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Give your whole life to Jesus, 1,000%. But have you ever got caught up so much in giving your whole life to Jesus that you forget to give today to him? Have you ever done that? And so this series, we're going to be going through different areas in our life that we're called to give to God. We're called to surrender, just like Jessica was saying. We're called to take a knee and surrender. And we're going to do that through opening the doors. It says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." That's Revelations 3:20 with Jesus. How many wish Jesus would just knock down your door? Anyone ever just, "God, can't you just like bulldoze through?" And he's like, "Well, no. It says, I stand at the door." I'm scared to knock on this door. I'm going to lean on it, right? "I stand at the door and I knock." But there's one other thing that also stands at the doors of our heart in Genesis 4:7. I know I'm just like washing us with all these scriptures, but if just whichever one stands out to you, you can look at it more this week. Genesis 4:7, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." So you've got Jesus knocking at your door, and then you've got sin. Now, it doesn't say sin is knocking. It just says it's crouching at your door, right? So you've got two different opposite kingdoms knocking at the door. Now, here's the good news. Everyone say there's a door. So there's actually a barrier here. Because of the cross, there is a barrier. And you have a choice to open the door. Oh, it's going to open. To open the door. Wow. We did it, guys. Okay. To open the door to Jesus. Now I can't see this. I'm so sorry, guys. I love you over there. All right. To open the door to Jesus or to sin. Right? And so, oh, buddy. Yep, here we go. We're gonna leave it ajar. That's not very biblical, but we're just gonna leave it ajar. So in this message series, we're gonna go through different areas in our life that we can open the door to either sin or to Jesus. And these are the two foundational scriptures that we're basing this on, Genesis 4:7 and Revelation 3:20, if you're taking notes. So how many know communication is a big doorway for sin or for Jesus? Have you ever miscommunicated with anybody? Anybody at all? I tell you what. What'd you say, Rod? I almost said something like that. Communication. So just like Brian and I were trying to build this doorway, and we did not communicate right? We could have looked at the instructions. We could have looked at a blueprint. And Brian's very capable. He built the welcome desk out there. I am not making fun of my husband's construction skills. But without a blueprint, without directions, without knowing the materials needed, without proper communication, he built something that is not going to last, right? And a lot of times that's what we do with communication. Steve Backlin, "If God wanted us to think small and with limitation for ourselves and other people, he did a really bad job at telling us so." Right? In the scripture, you see over and over and over again, God is saying, "Think bigger. I haven't put limits on you. Be free." Right? And so we're going to get into this today. We're going to look at two truths about communication that are going to set us up to open the door to Jesus, all right? So Proverbs 1:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. My communication is either building God's kingdom or it's tearing it down. My communication is either opening the door for Jesus, who's knocking on it, or for sin, who's knocking on it, right? And so let's look at the story of Gideon here. We're going to land on this scripture for a minute. It's in Judges 6:11. If you've got your Bible, why don't you open up to that? I personally think that every person needs their own personal communications coach. Wouldn't the world just be a better place? I think wars wouldn't have started. On a more serious note, a lot of family division and crisis. Isn't it amazing how one little miscommunication can change your entire day? Brian and I, as we've been married almost a year now, it's like if we have one challenge, it's in the communication department. And if anyone else is honest here about any kind of relationships you have, that's going to be it, right? And so Brian and I, you know, I finally just said a couple weeks ago, I was like, just over-communicate. Just like even communicate something you don't think you need to communicate so that I'm aware of what's going on. And then, of course, he started over-communicating. And I was like, why are you telling me all of this? Why are you asking me these questions? He's like, I'm over-communicating. I'm like, stop over-communicating. Now you're communicating too much, right? But how many know that in any kind of relationship, any friendship, a boss-employee relationship, a parenting relationship, a friendship, communication is key. And if you misinterpret what the other person is saying, it can even set up a division. You cannot talk to someone for years over a miscommunication that both of you thought, like, the other person said something very different, right? And for us, it was with respect. And for Brian, the word respect meant one thing. For me, the word respect went another thing. So in our relationship, we were disrespecting each other and really frustrating each other when we didn't even realize it because we both had different ways of communicating respect. And to each other, Brian communicating respect to me was very disrespectful, and me doing it to him was disrespectful because we had both grown up with different code books of communication. Are you guys following? So it's just really important to communicate and your expectations. So Judges 6:11, we're going to land here. The number one thing we're going to look at is what we build. So whether we're building God's kingdom or we're letting sin in, what we build is determined by what we affirm, right? If I get a blueprint for a tiny house, am I going to be able to build a tiny house or a mansion? Probably a tiny house. Even if Caleb's like, build me a mansion, and then he hands me a blueprint for a tiny house, it doesn't matter what he just said because he just handed me the blueprint for the tiny house, right? So what I see, what I affirm, is what I build. So Gideon, we're going to look at Gideon. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, of the son of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites, right? The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Everyone say, mighty hero. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us, and where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with strength. Everyone say strength. You have. Say you have. He's saying to Gideon, you have strength, and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. But Lord Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest. Everyone say weakest. In the whole tribe of Manasseh. And I am the least, everyone say least, in my entire family. He is giving the worst motivational speech ever, right? The least, the weakest. But Lord, Gideon replied, I am the least, right? The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. So before Gideon was a mighty hero, God called him a mighty hero. God said he had strength when Gideon was saying he was the weakest. God said he was sending Gideon before Gideon said he was capable. I think a lot of times, even subconsciously, we try to qualify ourselves for what we feel God is calling us to do. And I'm not trying to say, like, you know, go be a missionary in Africa. How about just witnessing to someone at the grocery store, right? I'm not qualified. I'm not courageous. And God said, I am calling you the weakest of your family. Have you ever felt like the weakest of your family, right? God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as they did. Romans 4:17. Joel 3:10. Let the weak say, I am strong. The entire future of Israel was locked up in Gideon's mind. And if Gideon hadn't been able to overcome the lies he was believing about himself, their entire future would have been, I don't know what God would have done, right? It says God works all things together. He would have probably found another way. I don't know how history would have changed, but history would be different. How many of our marriages or our finances or our workplaces or your giftings, whatever season of life you're in, are locked up in what you're thinking about yourself or about somebody else? How many know if I am speaking constant negativity to Caleb, like, Caleb, man, like, you just tell the worst jokes, right? But something like that, just over and over and over and over again, I'm speaking out these identity issues. Maybe they're even true, right? Maybe he does tell the worst jokes. I don't actually think he does. I've heard far worse, if you ever heard Pastor Tom preach. But you, he's not even here, I know. We talk about that at the end of this message, we talk about how to handle what I just said. But anyway, so, you know, if I'm constantly speaking out what my eyes are seeing instead of the eyes of my heart are seeing over Caleb, I am affirming a tiny house when God sees a mansion, and he's asking us to affirm the mansion. Are you seeing me? Are you tracking with me? This is really important. Now, if you've been in the church at all for a while, whether this church or another church, maybe you're like, this is not new news, right? We're supposed to speak out good identity over each other. Who's doing it perfectly here, right? I was going over this again. I was just getting convicted. I was getting reminded. Man, I am, like, you don't get an award. It's not like a Boy Scout, like, award thing, a badge. Like, hey, I passed the prophetic thing. Now I speak identity. I don't need to think about that anymore. So I want to invite you. We're re-looking at this. This might be review for you. This might be new information for you. That's okay. But what if the future of your breakthrough, what if the future of our church's breakthrough is locked up in how you are thinking about yourself or thinking about this church or thinking about this region? What does God say over Tompkins County or Cortland County, wherever you are? What does God say? Are your words and how you're thinking of your area how God is thinking? What does God say about your finances, about any kind of relationships, parenting, marriage, whatever season of life you're in? What is God saying over that other individual that's in your life? Are you speaking that out, or are you speaking what you're feeling or what the situation is asking for? Does that make sense? If Gideon had lived his life on what he felt true and his circumstances said, an entire nation might not have been delivered. Sometimes I wonder if we're going to look back in history and think, man, Brian and I were talking the other day, what if Putin got saved? What are we, I'm just going to, hopefully they don't block me on Facebook, you never know these days, but what if Putin got saved, right? All the things we're posting, all the things we're doing, this and that. What are we praying for? What does God see when he looks at that man? Brian and I were talking about history because World War II is just one of my favorite times, not because it was a good time, but there was a lot of heroism and courage, and it's very inspiring. And Brian and I were like, man, if Hitler had gotten saved, what kind of Christian leader would that man have been? What kind of identity in Christ was locked up in that man that never got out because he never chose Jesus? Like, can you just think about that? And when you think about people like that, you're like, wow. But how many know that your spouse or your child, you don't know what kind of God-given potential, what kind of calling, what kind of influence, even if it's just for one person. It doesn't make you any greater if you have a nation or, you know, numbers doesn't matter much to God in that. He said the least will be first, the last will be first, the first will be last. But it matters that there is God-given potential in the people in your life. Are you speaking it out, or are you speaking out what you feel and what your situation looks like? Does that make sense? So number two, what we build is determined by what we listen to. All right, so everyone pull on your ear. I was going to say pull on your neighbor's ear, but we're not really like, I guess it's not mandatory to social distance, but personally I don't feel that pulling on people's ears is ever okay, even if the health department says it is, right? But Luke 24, 13 through 35, we're going to end here. Before we end here, I just wanted to read this quote by Charles Spurgeon. You may speak but a word to a child, and in that child there may be a slumbering, a noble heart which shall stir the church in years to come. Isn't that beautiful? You may speak but to one child. You may speak but to one person. You may speak but to one waitress, one cashier, one coworker, one family member. But in that family member's heart, there might be a voice that could stir a whole group of people. Isn't that incredible? That's the kingdom of God. That's the mustard seed that grows to a tree through communication. So number two, what we build is determined by what we listen to. Luke 24. We're going to live here again for just one second. Verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. This is after Jesus has died, but and after he is resurrected, but all the disciples haven't figured this out. 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other. Everyone say they were talking. Good stuff and bad stuff happens when they were talking, right? All right, they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Have you ever prayed and told God, are you the only person, are you the only one that doesn't get what's happening? Have you ever prayed that? Are you the only one that doesn't get what's going on in my life?" Right? What things, Jesus asked. I love that. Of course Jesus knows, but he wants to hear us tell him, right? So for 7 miles, the disciples go on to tell Jesus about Jesus. How would you feel if you're a disciple that finds out that you were just telling God who God was for 7 miles? I don't know about you, but that's a bad day in my book, right? That's a very, like, imagine meeting, like, I don't know, some famous movie star that's disguised, and you're like, "You haven't heard of this movie star? Let me tell you about them for 7 miles. That's not driving 7 miles. That's walking 7 miles. That's like an entire day talking a celebrity's ear off about themselves, right? That's a nightmare scenario when you figure out what you actually just did. But in verse 30, it says they didn't get it for 7 miles. And then when Jesus was at the table with them at the end of their walk, they ate together. He took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And at that moment, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures?" So I love this. What were you discussing? It says, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" That's what Jesus said. I want to ask you, and I want to leave you with this question. What are you discussing as you walk along in your life? What are you discussing Monday through Friday? What are you communicating, whether it's to yourself or to someone in your life? What are you discussing? They had listened so much, right? What are you listening to is the question. They had listened to so much of disappointment, discouragement, negative circumstances, that when the answer to their prayers was right in front of them, they missed it. Because they had opened the door in their communication to discouragement, disappointment, even rejection maybe, right? They're leaning. Thank God the door to our... I told Brian, I'm like, I'm just so glad God made the door to my heart. Because if you'd made the door to my heart, we might not all be here still, right? Oh no, don't take the door. No. Blame inflation, right? We would have had better wood. Communication, right? They'd open the door to disappointment and discouragement. Have you ever opened the door to disappointment and discouragement with your words? Have you ever spoken out? Have you ever complained? I heard once, you can't complain about what you haven't prayed for. In other words, if I'm not praying for my president, I don't get to complain about him. Now, please don't complain anyway, right? But it stops you. The next minute you want to post something, share something, say something about somebody else, about yourself in a complaining or a discouraging way, stop, drop, and roll, right? That's my end commission to us. Stop, drop, and roll, right? Stop. Catch yourself when you're about to complain, when you're about to criticize someone. Stop yourself. Drop to your knees, right? Even if it's just in your heart, if you're in public. And instead of speaking out complaining or discouragement or speaking out what only your naked eye can see, start prophesying their godly identity over them. Right? What are you listening to? What were the disciples listening to? Don't miss Jesus. Don't miss Christ in Caleb, the hope of glory. I can call that out in him. I want to end with this story. On Kids Sunday, we sometimes go a little bit longer because I've heard that the kids need a little bit more time. So I want to end with this story. Does anyone know Jason Upton? You don't know Jason Upton. What have I done? Okay, we'll change that here real quick. Jason Upton is a worship leader. He's incredible. He's a theologian. I don't know if he's a pastor, but he's a worship leader, and he has a lot of music that he's recorded. I used to, about 20 years ago, I used to dance in my living room to his worship music. He actually has, and don't think I'm crazy for saying this, he actually has an angel's voice recorded on one of his albums. They were worshiping, and they were recording it. It was like a live album, and they picked up this voice, and they looked through they looked at the recording, they looked at feedback, they looked at the guitar sounds, the piano sounds, they looked at all these things, and it's the most beautiful song that you could hear, right? And no, he doesn't boast about that because he's an incredibly humble guy. So you can believe it or not, it doesn't matter, but it's a beautiful worship song about God's throne. But Jason Upton has a brother-in-law that's a Muslim. And he said that he would argue with his brother. Have you ever argued with someone over faith? You just feel like it's your obligation to win the battle for Jesus. You just argue. He would argue with him and debate him about Islam and Christianity. And one day, Jesus told him, stop arguing and start affirming what his brother-in-law was like in Jesus. In other words, his brother-in-law was apparently this amazing parent, just an incredible dad. So he stopped arguing. He said, I don't want to argue with you, but I just want to let you know, like, you are such an amazing dad. You remind me of Jesus. Like, and he just started affirming and prophesying his godly identity over him. Now his brother-in-law doesn't want to argue anymore. He just wants to talk about Jesus. He's not saved yet, but he won't shut up. He just wants to talk about Jesus. What's Jesus like? Because Jason Upton realized instead of arguing, he was going to affirm. He was going to communicate kingdom communication. He was going to listen to God and affirm. So next week, we're going to get into hearing God's voice, and we're going to go over like 7 or 8 ways to hear God's voice. Because how many know sometimes you're just stuck in a rut of communication, and I want to speak life over my spouse or my daughter or whatever, but I just can't get past the barrier. And so we're going to talk about that next Sunday. We're going to get real practical and talk about different ways to hear God's voice. And even if you think you know all the ways, I encourage you, don't miss next Sunday, because we're actually going to end by doing a little Bible study, each one of us here together. It's going to be a really special, special Sunday. So I want to end with these 3 questions, all right? Number 1, ask yourself, if you got a phone, write this out. It would be a good devotional for the week. Number 1, ask yourself, what am I listening to when I'm with people? What am I listening to? All right. 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit to you, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that you may wage the good warfare. Prophetic words are warfare. And if you think prophetic words are some whoop, all the prophetic, or it's weird or whatever, prophetic just means we believe God is speaking through his word and he's speaking to our hearts, right? And they always go together. They never contradict, of course, the word of God. But God is speaking, and the word of God is what we wage warfare with. What God speaks to us, what God has affirmed in our lives, we can fight the lies of the enemy. But it's not just for me. It's actually I can fight Brian's death for Brian or with or against Brian, right? My words, my communication either fights Brian or it fights the enemy with Brian. Did you catch that? Our communication, when we open the door to Jesus, I can actually communicate in a way that is warfare against the enemy in my family. Not warfare against my family. You see the difference? It's a big difference. So what are you listening to when you're with people? Because that will determine, are you fighting like them or are you fighting for them with your words? Number two, this month's challenge is to become the biggest encourager you know. All right? I'm not talking about some frothy encouragement like, oh, they're like getting all happy-go-lucky. Not at all. Encouragement, encourage. It means, you know, to be filled with courage. When I encourage Caleb in his identity in Christ, when Jason Upton encouraged his Islamic or his Muslim brother-in-law with how he saw in Christ, it opened a door in that man's heart, right? Communication opened a door in that man's heart for Jesus, all right? And then number three, when you catch yourself about to criticize someone or complain, stop, drop, and roll, right? Stop, drop, and roll in your heart, or if you need to, get on your knees. Sometimes I've gotten on my knees in the bathroom stall, right? I just need a moment with Jesus. Get on your knees, and instead of complaining or criticizing, whether you're criticizing to their face or to their back, either way, right? Prophesy life over them. Ask God, God, how do you see my friend? How do you see my boss right now? I speak that out. All right, so why don't you stand on your feet? Did that make sense? Is that okay that we're gonna get super practical here because we're a church that believes in the prophetic, but the prophetic isn't some weird, disconnected, faraway thing. It just means we believe in hearing God's voice and speaking it out over ourselves and each other. And when you get God's blueprint, your construction doesn't turn out like this. Your relationships don't turn out like this, right? When you get God's blueprint, when you're affirming what God is seeing, he gives you everything you need to build his kingdom in your communication. So Jesus, right now, we just thank you for the gift of communication. It's absolutely incredible. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, you're speaking. So God, right now, we just thank you that we get to listen to you and anybody here who has been speaking out words that have not been affirming you, God, over themselves or over each other or over any situation. God, we repent. It says, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. It means turn from your way and turn to God's kingdom. Give your communication to God's kingdom. Give your communication to the king. So you can use royal communication. You can affirm Christ in all the words that you're saying. So God, we just repent and we turn to you and we invite you. Just say after me, Holy Spirit, fill my words, fill my heart, fill my mind so I can communicate you. I give you permission to remind me to speak life when I want to speak death. That's a dangerous prayer, but we're going to pray that, and I just thank you, God, that you're going to, Holy Spirit inside each one of us is going to give us the ability to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So next week, we're going to talk about some different ways to hear God's voice. Bring your Bible, because we're going to do a Bible study activation at the end that's going to be fantastic, and don't forget your child, even though they may be having so much fun, you could actually forget them for a little while longer. But we're going to have parenting class in here. If you are a parent or you take care of any child or have anything to do with children, I invite you to stay. Today, we're actually going to be giving out a technology map, which actually helps you figure out how to talk about technology with your kids, depending on their age. It's going to get real practical. And honestly, with the stuff on technology, it's very important that you catch this at any age almost. So we're going to get really practical, and then a couple other ways that we're going to talk about parenting too with our video series. Okay? So parenting class will start here in just like 10 minutes, just in the front rows if you want to stay. Otherwise, communicate Jesus, be a witness this week. Amen?
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.